And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is April 13th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there and we thank you for being here this morning. And appreciate you taking the time out of your busy week to be here with us. I want to start off by reading Psalms 118, starting in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Let us say it. His loving kindness is everlasting. For my distress, I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with the satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for being our King and being our God. We thank you that we are your people, that we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we just ask, Father, as there's so many things going on taking place across this land, we just pray, Father, for your remnant to rise up. We pray for that daughter of Zion to rise up. Lord, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity that you give us and that you give us these opportunities each and every day. We pray that you use us and allow us to be a light into a dark world. We pray that you use our hands and the labors that we do to further your kingdom. Let us be found working to bring forth your kingdom. Lord, we know it's not about us. It's about you and your kingdom. And we love you and we praise you. And we praise you and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day. The ones that we take for granted each and every day. Lord, we want to be found as being a grateful people and thankful. We ask, Father, that you pour out your Spirit upon us as we gather together to learn to worship you. Lord, we pray that we may be found pleasing in your sight. We pray these things in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed the message by Pastor Peter, Stealers, Killers, Destroyers. If you didn't hear it the hour before, then you'll hear it the hour after. But a prophetic message. And I think that I wanted to continue on with the Deception series. And as we continue on in that Deception series, one of the things that is exciting to me is we're seeing some of the stuff that we were talking about. Rachel's now, she's 17. And so this was preached when I think she was about 16. 16 years ago, the truths that Pastor Peters was putting out, and now we're seeing those things on national news coming out. People that are exposing, you know, that maybe the vaccinations are bad, maybe fluoride's bad for you, maybe this AMA and these doctors don't necessarily really care about your health. And to me, it's just exciting to see these things that are taking place. He was definitely gifted, and the Lord gave him a message to bring to us. And that's what we gather together as the remnant, and we are definitely a different group of people. We're different in a lot of different ways. And that is, you know, to be different, if you dissect that word different, and break it down, it really means to be holy, to be set apart. And that's what we are. And some people get a big head about themselves when because of the knowledge that they've been blessed with. And that's a scary place to be. It's the power that we have as Christian soldiers in humility under authority is a great and awesome power. And just want to remind you that. We've got a message by Zach this morning that is entitled "Value People's Time," and that's one thing that we've been talking about it, and we talked about it yesterday, and he said he had this topic that he wanted, and it's the same thing that I've been talking about, and with some of the subjects that we've continued to talk about on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, valuing people's time, doing a good job, taking care of business, and it's something that I think that there is definitely a need for improvement, and I've talked to you about talking to several people about, you know, giving bad advice. And that has been, you know, that's a good subject, and we're going to have to continue on with that as well. But valuing people's time, we need to value people's time, and we need to be valuing God's time too. Just encourage people to keep with everything that we see going on. Take the time to pray and pray, seek His face, get into the Word of God, get to know our God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is how we get to know our God, is getting into the Bible. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and just go over to Brother Zach.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, April 13th, 2025, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you can join us, and we're going to begin by defining who Jesus Christ is, and that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. And we here at Scriptures for America love to do deep dives in the Word. And I wish I had more time to prep sermons so I can go deeper, because I know there's a lot of you out there that are meat eaters, and I also am a meat eater, but I just wish I could do a better job for you guys. So if you're out there, just pray for me and ask the Holy Spirit just give me good sermon. So with that being said, we're going to get into the lesson, and we're going to start again for the third week in a row in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start by reading in verse 22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service and those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So we are to obey those that are above us, and we are to do it with sincerity, fearing the Lord. It is no accident that there are people put over other people, and people are put into positions. It is of the hand of the Lord. And you say, well, maybe that's not so true. Take a look at Joseph. Joseph is a great example of that. He was put into positions and thrown around. He was Potiphar's top guy. Then he got thrown in jail. He ended up being the top guy in jail. And then he made it all the way to second in command of Egypt. So everything is done by the hand of the Lord based on the decisions that we make. Sometimes we just don't know the ways of the Lord. I bet Joseph actually wondered when he was sitting in the clink. He made the right decision, but that was the path that God chose for him. Verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, that is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and without partiality. So what comes around goes around. That's just the way it is. And these are all things. What we read here in Colossians chapter 3 is what we do, how we do it, our motivation for it is to be given glory to the Lord. We need to do it in a way that honors God no matter what. And we need to keep ourselves in check. And I got a video from YouTube, and this guy is I've listened to many hours of this guy on podcasts and stuff. And his name is Mike Glover. Now, I know some of you out there might get a little puffy, but he's a half Korean, half white dude from North Carolina. His dad was a military guy, and his wife was from Korea, and you can about imagine what happened. But the guy ended up joining the army. He was a guard at the Tomb of the Unknown. He ended up making it into SF, the Green Berets, and then he was selected for Delta. And then he was medically retired out of the Army, and he did multiple tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. And the guy's very well decorated as far as military goes. What he talks about, I just got the first three and a half minutes that I want you to listen to, is about holding yourself accountable. And what I think he's talking about is what is in your heart and what motivates you. And he talks about keeping it in check. So with that, I'm going to ask that the staff plays that radio or that YouTube video. And then when we're done, I'll get back with you. And I hope you enjoy it, but here it is.
This is a different episode because I'm just doing some testing in the studio and seeing how you guys like it. What I'm also going to do is do my show Preaching to the Choir, depending on how I feel, and depending on the weather. I'll probably do a combination of doing it outside, like I always do, holding the camera. But I thought you guys would just appreciate a better quality setup with higher quality audio. If you like this setup, give me your feedback below. Also, I'm looking for topics from all members of my Patreon, since it's technically my only job besides being disabled. I'm looking for input on what specific things you guys want to talk about. One of the topics that I think I'm going to talk about on Sunday, the Preaching to the Choir, is going to be focused on discipline. And I've talked a little bit about discipline before, but the difference in this is I want to talk about self-control, because a lot of us, including myself, likes to think we're in control. And sure, you could be that guy or gal and talk out loud and tell people how you feel and kind of control the world around you. And that's cool. And that looks like discipline. Like when you're doing that, it's reflected upon people, like, they perceive it, man, this guy's got his stuff together. But something that I thought about in my own life, and likely the case for you, because I think we're both human, is a lot of people don't have self-control. So they virtue signal all the control in the world, which gives them this persona, or I think perspective from other people, that, oh, they got their stuff together. But the reality is, do you really? And I would ask that everybody kind of self-assess yourself with honesty and truth. What do you do when nobody's looking? And I mean, that's the definition of integrity, right? Like, who are you when nobody is looking? I think it's a country music song as well. But when you look at that in yourself, you should assess that in order to be honest, an honest broker for people, you have to hold yourself accountable. And I don't think a lot of people do that, including myself. I think we're immersed in sin. I think it's something that we have to constantly battle and contest. And most of the times in my life where I've slipped far from grace and far from just life and just being just not a very good person is when I wasn't looking at myself honestly. And I was typically losing self-control, whether it was lusting over people, whether it was focused on the dollar and not the reason why I got into it, which had nothing to do with money. And I think that's going to be the topic on Sunday. Now I'm going to try to do a live feed. I think you'll be.
And we're back. And I hope you enjoyed that video. Well, let me step back a little bit. He got himself into a little bit of trouble. And he was charged with some stuff. Not serious stuff, but, I personally don't think it's that bad, but it kind of dinged his reputation on the internet and with the company that he built. And he basically is what he's doing. He's paying the price for it. One of the things that I don't know if he actually said it. I don't remember it. I have to look back. Is you have to hold yourself accountable and take responsibility for your actions. And like you've heard me say this before. You know, this video is only a couple months old or a month old. You know, we need to do a self inventory check of what is in our hearts and what motivates us. Why do we do the things that we do? Why are we as Christians? Why are we here? What do we want to get? What are we trying to gain? And what we're trying to gain is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His kingdom come. His will be done. And if that is not our goal, and if that is not what we want as a will, what are we doing? We need to have the Lord's heart and the Lord's word be our feelings and our gauge at all times. And we need to hold ourselves accountable each and I can't hold you accountable for the things that you do when nobody's looking. Only you can do that. You can't hold me accountable for the things that I do when nobody's looking. Only I can do that. And we need to hold ourselves accountable for everything and repent and confess to the Lord and take our lump and make sure our motivation is proper. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. I begin by reading in verse 41. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will be able to see clearly and take out the speck that is in your own eye. Don't be fixing somebody with the same problem that you have, and then pay no attention to your own shortcomings, is what this is saying. And I think that's what Mr. Glover was saying in the back. In that video we just listened to. What it is, it's holding yourself accountable, and you're not fit for service, really, if you do not look at the log that is in your eye. You're not fit for service if you don't hold yourself accountable and get things in your own life, deep down, the little skeletons in the closet, out, and taken care of and dealt with. I'm not saying go around and broadcast all your stuff, but deal with them. Because a little bit of leaven goes through the whole loaf. And I think, as you said in there, we are all guilty of this to one degree or another. Why do we do this? Because, as you've heard me say time and time again, our actions affect the person to the left and to the right. It makes things more difficult. Therefore, we do not care about the guy to the left or the right of us. We don't care about the labor to the guy to the left or the right of us. It's irrelevant in our eyes. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to start out in verse 9. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not see, okay, so wait, you got to care about somebody that's not as successful as you. You have to value their existence. If you can help them by charity, you are obligated to do it, as it says right here. Now, do we have vineyards and we have gleanings? No, we don't do that. But you're to respect other people's existence. We are to be considerate and have concern for the positions that people are in. You don't know how they got there. You don't know what kind of training they had for parents. Be concerned. Value their time here on earth. That is what it's saying here. Help them out. Make it more comfortable for them if you can. Verse 11. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You should not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. You do not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. What is all this stuff saying? You need to value other people's time. There, what did we say? You do not steal or deal falsely or lie to one another. You don't take advantage. You don't take their possession that they worked for. They had to give up time in their life to get whatever you're after, to swindle them, to dicker down with them, whatever. I just had that the other day. I was doing a job and somebody was trying to beat me up on the price. You know, I know how long it's going to take me. I know my equipment. What is that showing? Like, one of the things my uncle always told me, always, like, everybody's got to be concerned about everybody in the deal. Is it good for everybody? When you're lying and dealing falsely with it, you're not worried about the other person if it's okay and good for them. The Lord says don't do that. Value their time. Because they only got so much of it here on this earth. Who am I, or who are you, or who is anybody to sit there and play with it and make things more difficult for them? Now, I am guilty of giving bad advice, just as many of you are out there, which ends up wasting people's time. We need to value it. Verse 13. You shall not oppress your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. Excuse me. I read that the second time. You shall not curse him. Okay. Stop down to 15. You shall not do injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. With the law of God, there is justice, and it's fair. As it says in the New Testament, it's the perfect law of liberty. Everybody's time is valued equally. Now, whether some people know how to play inside that rule box better than others, that's neither here nor there. To value people's time. Cherish it as if it was yours. Verse 16. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Pretty strong statement there. Act against the life of your neighbor. Don't oppress him. Don't come against him, especially if he's done nothing wrong. We're not here to outdo people in this. No. Value other people's time. You are not to hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You can call people out for the wrongdoing, but don't hate them for it. That'll bring in sin. You are not to take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. When things are done and over with, it's done and over with. And what God is saying here in the law, if you have a dispute, settle it and be done with it. Like it never happened. Like it never happened. Isn't that what Jesus did to you and I? Paid for our sins. We are sons of the living God. We were separated. And by us being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and taking that burial, rose up different. We were buried with Christ and we rose up through baptism. It's like it never happened. This is the way we are to view one another. And this is the way we are to value each other. Because we want God to value us. We want God to look at us as a high value individual. Therefore, we need to look at them as high value individual. Now, I'm not talking about Edomites and stuff like that, but you are to love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. What are you doing? You're setting a tone. If everybody thought that way, things would be so much better in this world. But they don't. This is why it's important that we train one another here in this ministry, our children, love our neighbor as ourselves. Hold ourselves accountable. Be humble. Try to lead people to repentance. Make sure we're not guilty of the same thing that we're trying to lead people out of. But chances are we probably are. Just like old Glover said back in that video, value other people's time as much as you value your own. Turns me to Mark chapter 12. I begin by reading in verse 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing and recognized that he had answered them well and asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." That's the first one. Now, based on what we just read back there in the law, which I read every Sunday morning, I also read John chapter 1, and the Word was God. And the Word back there in the Old Testament in Leviticus was telling you, as I just demonstrated, to value other people and their time. So you naturally should know this if you know the Word, if you know the law. You should just know this. Well, if I love the Lord, then I need to love everybody else. Or not love, I don't know. Love is, I don't want to throw that word around. I need to obey the commandment of the Lord and value everybody else's time and think everybody else's time is just as important as my own. because I just read it to you in Leviticus. Tells you how you should view other people. Tells you that you should think of them highly. It tells you you should not look down to that on them, no matter what position that they're in, whether it be financially needy or the stranger that is among you, because it said it there in Leviticus. You don't look down on them. If they're in your midst and they're obeying the law and they're in the culture and assimilating to it, you and I ain't got no right to badmouth them and look down on them and treat them any different. Just like that guy in that video. What he said, I mean, he's no dummy. You got to hear some of the stuff that that guy did in the service. I wouldn't want to cross him. But he's showing that he was being repentant. Or, I mean, you might not realize that, but I know the story behind him because I've listened to him a lot. But he was just reflecting back. That's from being around Israelites. That's from being around Israelite culture. So the first commandment, love the Lord. Love the Word. We just read a big chunk or a chunk out of the Word, what it says, and it's telling you and I to value other people's time as they have here on earth. There should be no shocker. That is the Word. That's who He is. Verse 31. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. It's actually almost the same thing. If you think about it, based on what I just read, it's the same thing. If you know the first one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, it should just be natural. It should be just natural. You should already know it. You should already act that way. Verse 32, the scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have stated that he is the one and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all your heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself, is there much more, And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Let me go back on verse 33. It's much more like the love of the Word is God, to love God, and to love your neighbor, and to value that, value them, value the Word, value your neighbor. Both of them are above valuing yourself. It is much more valuable than burnt offerings and sacrifices. We are talking about heart issues, and what I mean by that, like in the spiritual. How's your heart programmed? Is it hard? Have we let go of the things, the wrongs that people have done to us? What the law said to do? Are we holding grudges? Or are we letting it go and just, even, I remember one time at Branson, I asked this, like, well, if they don't apologize, do I have to forgive them? You know, and that was actually a serious question. And I guess the answer is yes. Now, I'm not talking about enemies of the Lord. I'm not talking about Edomites. I'm not talking about Satan's seed. I know they all exist. I want to get our core group of people strengthened because I know there are enemies of God. I know there are twice sons of hell that are working against. I know there are evil forces working against the kingdom of heaven. I get all that. But we need to have this stuff down pat in order for us to be an effective tool and weapon in the hand of our God. And with that is what I have for this Sunday morning. And I'm going to ask you again to pray for me on my was coming up with better sermons, more meaty ones. And for those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Zach. As we approach the part of the sermon today for that we partake of communion, let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. And we're going to do just as Brother Zach requested too, and pray for him, pray for guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, and pray for him to do a better job. We know that we have not because we ask not. And I want to thank Zach for all the hard work and dedication that he's put in. I know Zach, I've known Zach for a long time. He's got a heart for God. He loves his God. He loves his people. And God's been just continuing to work in him and through him. And he's a blessing to me and my family. And he's a very good man. And I really appreciate all the hard work and the dedication that that he has put forth. And you know, he was. We were talking the other day, and we were talking about he called me after we got off with coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we talked about iron sharpening iron. And he told me how much he appreciated all the work and the effort that we had put into that program, and how it made him realize that he needed to do a better job. And I think that that's one of the things that it's just been on my heart is, you know, everything that we do, we need to do a good job at it. We need to do a better job at it. We need to try. We need to put the effort into it. And it's been a thing that I've been working with my children with. And it's something that I was talking with my son Justice the other day, and I went out to the shop, and there was a rifle that he had cleaned. And I picked it up and I said, "Who cleaned this?" And it got quiet, and he said, "I did." And I looked it over, and it was perfect. And he had done a good job. And it took us a long time to get to that point, but it was something that he worked on. He wanted to do a better job, and I critiqued it and made him better, because he was, you know, he's still a child. And he needs that discipline. He needs that direction. He needs that guidance. He needs to hone his skills. And it's something that when he got to where he did a good job at it, I told him, you know, what a good job he did. And boy, his face just lit up, and he was happy and joyful. And I thought about, as soon as I got done with that and talking with him, I thought about how our Heavenly Father smiles when we do a good job, when we work hard and we labor, and how pleased he is with us when we put a lot of effort in, when we learn something new, when we try something new, when we are successful at something that we put our hands to. I really don't believe that God likes a lazy person. He's put us here on the earth to work, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be laboring. And anyway, enough about that. We're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer, and then we'll have communion. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, I thank you for Brother Zach and for his commitment to your kingdom. Lord, we just ask, Father, that just as he requested, we lift him up, and we pray for more of the Holy Spirit to be given to him. We pray, Father, for you to guide him, direct him, strengthen him, encourage him, Father. Give him the words to speak. Give him the messages that you want brought to your people. We pray that you just continue to guide and direct him. Lord, we lift him up to you, and we ask, Father, that you bless him, that you just use him in as a mighty and powerful way, Father, that you just continue to bless him for the labors that he does here. We're thankful for him, and we're grateful for him. And Lord, as we get ready to partake of communion, we come and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us. We recognize that it's not about us, but it's about you and your kingdom. And Father, we're grateful for you giving us freedom of our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases. Lord, as we partake of communion today, we pray, Father, for a renewing of us, of our bodies, of our minds, and we pray that we continue to put on that mind of Christ, that we are closer to you, that we are more dedicated to you, that we can recognize the sins that are in our lives, that we find ourselves judging ourselves for the sins that we commit. We pray, Father, that we recognize these things and can purge them from our lives. We pray, Father, that we are closer to you by partaking of your blood and your body. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Be seated. In Matthew chapter 13, the Lord speaks of the parable of the sower. And one part of it, he explains this, and the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky place, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And is the man And this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word. And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I was thinking this week about the Lord's bride, because that's what you have described in Proverbs 31. The part I like the most about that woman in Proverbs 31 is she looks off into the future, and the Bible says she smiles. And they would have us worry about all the things that they've got planned for us. And I look off in the future and I smile. I remember many years ago, my boy was a teenager, high school. There was some big spellcasting Jew media promo on television called The Day After or something like that. Some big nuclear bomb going off, and there's going to be a dust in the air and a nuclear winter. Does anybody remember that? Now, I remember my boy coming home from school. Everybody was talking about it at the time. And he said, I just kept quiet. Teacher said, well, Monty, you haven't said anything. All talk about that movie. He said, Dad, I was so disgusted because everybody was saying, oh, I just wouldn't want to live, you know, if this happened and that happened. I want you to know why you're living today. Because you had forefathers that came across the prairie. They didn't say, oh, I just wouldn't want to live. They were able to endure hardships. They understood what it meant to be strong and courageous. And they faced the future and they smiled. Amen. If they didn't get that crop in and they didn't get the rain, they weren't going to eat. But something they trusted in God Almighty, and He provided. And it's about time we have that faith again in this world. Amen. And stop letting them program you about the fears of the future. I want to tell you something. They plan on giving you a shot of heavy metal mercury in their swine flu shot. Well, there's another heavy metal. It's called lead. And so you just have to take the stand. I mean, they faced Indians as they came across. You might have to face beasts as you go on into the future today, but you face the future and smile. Eh? Now, it says here, and the worries of the world and the deceit. Oh, I didn't tell you to finish the story about Monty. He comes home and he said, teacher says, well, what do you have to say, Monty? He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. My dad and I are going to live. That was his attitude. And you know, he said, nobody even thought about that in the class. They program your thinking. We are overcomers in Christ. Amen. It is the remnant that is going to make it. Few there be that find it, but I want to be in that number, don't you? But you're mine. You say, well, this is a strange Lord's Supper talk. Well, blame it on the Lord, because I just want the Spirit to lead me here. What I was really trying to get to, though, is this part of it. It says, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And it's so easy today to get caught up in the world and the deceitfulness of riches and trying to make a dollar. And so the world today, they're out there and they play. On this Lord's Day, some are out on the lake. Some are enjoying their Harleys. Some are sleeping in. Then there's the garden and there's the yard. And there's always something anymore that's planned on the Lord's Day. There was a day in America that people went to church on Sunday. And they didn't get up and say, oh, you know, I don't think I'll go to. I'm tired. The indifference. It might not hit us right now, but when this thing comes down, everyone is so concerned about everything from Planet X to bank closures, and no one seems to be concerned about what the Lord told us. He's coming back. Amen? And that indifference might not mean much to you now, but when we have to face Him and know that He gave us His Son, He went up, He carried that cross, He died for our sins, He poured out His blood, He suffered, He was sick, He was alone, cut off, and He did it for you and me and the indifference in the world. Well, I don't think it's going to go well for those that have not taken seriously the sacrifice. Agreed? And it's so easy to be one of those seeds that get choked out by the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Brother Word telling a story once, true story too, I forget which president it was. The president had a very important meeting on a Sunday. And he said, no, I'm going to church. And there was a time that people just put these first things first. Now, you think I feel like going to church every Sunday? Pretty much so, I guess. It's kind of my job. But I tell you, I didn't this Sunday. Old new Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle worked me pretty hard yesterday. And the whole week, don't you think? And this preacher did something he's not used to. It's called physical labor. But this morning about 4:30, I was laying there in bed, and I did not feel like going to church. Thinking about that crucifixion. And I was thinking about Jesus climbing up that hill. And I thought to myself, now, He couldn't carry that cross any further. Or could He? The Bible says that Simon of Cyrene, was that his name? Was pulled out of the crowd, the cross. And I thought to myself, you know, I could see him, because I didn't want to get out of bed. I can see him trying to get up under the weight of that cross. I believe that he would have done it without Simon Cyrene. It just was going to take longer. And the Roman soldiers were impatient. Just speculation on my part. But I know that my Lord was determined he was going to get up and get to the top of that hill. Because if he didn't, I wouldn't have any hope whatsoever. Amen? And then the indifference in the world today. I tell you, somebody's going to pay for it. Particularly those of you that know better. I got some, I look in the crowd, you never know they're going to be here or they're not. But it kind of depends on how they feel. You know what I say? Well, I'm saying something. I didn't feel like getting out of that bed. He didn't feel like going up that hill. But there are some things you do because the Lord calls you to do. Now, I want to go to Psalms 22. In Psalms chapter 22, as I pointed out in last Sunday's sermon, Band of Evildoers, this is a prophetic psalm. We're going to start with verse 11. It's a prophetic. It was written so long before the crucifixion that it gives you an idea of what Jesus was going through. We read verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a raving and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dry, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou dost lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But thou, O Lord, be not far off. O thou, my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only lord of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horn of the wild oxen. Thou dost answer me. I will tell thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee. I think I'll tell you a prophet's understood. Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. And it has to do with faith. When that prophet, Jonah, was found in the belly of the whale, about to die, there it says, I will once again sacrifice to thee. It looked impossible. But if you want to do, Jesus said, with faith all things are what? Possible. But it looked impossible for that man in that belly to get out. But he made up his mind and he said, I will once again praise thee in the assembly. And what I just read to you here, at the very end it says, I will tell of thy name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly, I will pray. Jesus was practicing the same thing, and this is just a side note on the communion talk. You'll find times in your life that you don't think there's any way out. And you don't think you can live, and you don't think you can make it. Jesus knew that he was going to raise up out of, and he spoke. Here's what he said. He said, I will tell of thy name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise thee. Verse 22. That is faith. You don't look at the seen, you look at the unseen. Great. Did he speak of the name in the assembly of people afterwards? Yes. That's just a side freebie of communion. And so today, as we partake of communion, and we do it every first day of the week. Why? It says to do it. It says not to forsake the assembly. It says they did it on the first day of the week. If you want to understand more about communion, you can always order our booklet called Communion. It's Potential Blessings and Curses. We'll send it to you free of charge. You write and request it. But communion is a very important part of Christianity. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, it is so easy in the cares and concerns of the world, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of materialism. And I pray now, as I've already prayed, for the assist of your Holy Spirit to bring our minds, our heart, and our minds into focus and align right up with that cross. We would see that your Son fought with everything he could to get up and to lift up that cross, to carry it on up that hill. And, oh, Heavenly Father, we know that he made it there and he died there for our sins. And we know that you to be part of the world that just no longer remembers or cares. And so now we focus our hearts and our minds upon the cross. We partake in remembrance. As we eat the loaf, we eat the God. As we drink the cup, we drink of his blood. Give us, by your mercy and grace, even though we probably have not properly prepared ourselves to partake, give us all the blessings that are ours in this meal. We pray it in Jesus' name. You may take a loaf with us. You may drink of the cleansing blood.
Let us step in.